from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All righty, Evan Giddings in today for Daryl the Guru Johnson. And let's get right out to Brian Geltzeiler. He's one of our favorites. He's a host on Sirius XM NBA Radio, also a contributor at NBA TV. Free agency starts in a week, Brian, but things are starting to bubble up and bubble out. Just give me something about free agency that you heard that maybe changes your opinion of what a team may or may not do.
Well, I think we have to, free agency is a broad term, because how much free agency is truly going to occur when the amount of cap space out there is not all that heavy? Now, listen, you got a couple teams that have some meaningful amounts of cap space that are contenders: Oklahoma City, Philadelphia, Orlando. Those are three off the top of my head. But it's, we're not, what's interesting, there's a couple really interesting names that are being bandied about right now. Paul George is one of them, because if he opts into his the $48 million in his deal, that's going to be much easier for him to go to a team he wants to go to, with the Clippers' willingness to trade him. And for the Clippers, they're going to want to get something back for him if they're going to lose him. And I don't think they're going to come to an agreement and a deal. I feel like what Paul George wants, and I don't think it's about annual money. I think it's about years. The amount of years that Paul George wants is going to be 4 years, and I don't think the Clippers want to be paying him at 38 at this point. They're going to have to make a finish. They're in the process of negotiating with James Harden right now. I think, again, it's going to be more, the issue is going to be years than money with him as well. So I think that's one name that's definitely in play. And then the other one's the guy that's under contract that his team just is going to refuse to extend because of his age, mileage, and frequency of injury, and that's Jimmy Butler. And the buzz is getting heavy that Jimmy Butler is going to be moved by the Heat, even if it means they take a step or two back in the short term to try to see if they can rebuild a title contender. But I think they've kind of looked at their window and realized the window around Butler is closed. Plus, Butler's done there now what he's done at many other locations, which is you have him for a little while, but he wears on you in a big way. And I think the Heat are kind of tired of all that. So don't get me wrong, there's going to be guys that are free agents that are going to sign. It's the way it works. But the major names, I think, that are going to switch teams are going to be involved in trades, because the big theme that you're going to hear, and you will continue to hear it from now till this offseason wraps up, is the second apron. All the second apron restrictions kick in right now, and so much of what teams do is going to revolve around staying out of that or getting out of that second apron, so they're able to at least operate with some roster flexibility, because the handcuffs that the second apron put on your roster flexibility can be very, very punishing to teams that want to improve.
Oh, and Brian, that seems to be one of the priorities for the Golden State Warriors. And the big news in the Bay Area over the weekend is that it doesn't sound like Klay Thompson is a huge priority, with no contract on the table, frozen talks, all the rest. But one thing that was also reported is they are trying to search for a path to a larger scale upgrade. You just mentioned the two names that we've been kind of tossing around, Paul George and Jimmy Butler. When you hear the Warriors trying to seek a large scale upgrade, are those the two names that come to the top of mind, and how are they feasibly able to do that?
Well, okay, so those are the two names that I've heard that the Warriors have kicked the tires on. But again, there's going to be availability of other guys that hasn't necessarily been revealed yet. The one name that I have heard consistently that kind of bubbling under the surface, and I'm starting to hear it a little more as we dive into this week, is Kevin Durant. That's another one that may very well be available. Phoenix, if they're going to trade somebody to create flexibility, they're going to have to trade one of their star players, really. That's going to be what it ends up being for them, because they, again, are under the second April restrictions of not being able to aggregate two players in a deal. So that's another name to keep in mind. But when it comes to the Warriors between now, so today's the 24th, between now and Friday, have an interesting salary asset with Chris Paul. So Chris Paul, it's either by Friday, it's either a $5 million buyout or $30 million is going to be guaranteed for his contract next year. If they can find a team that's got the guy to move them to, and Paul's money gets guaranteed, the Warriors can then take that young asset with not a big salary and some picks and turn that into a large-scale guy. Because keep one thing in mind about the Warriors' salary situation right now. Klay Thompson's $43 million coming off the books takes them out, not out of the luxury tax, but it takes them back below the first apron, which means that they get all of the, except for the full mid-level exception, they have a taxpayer's lower mid-level exception. They would be able to operate that way as the calendar turns on July 1st to the next NBA fiscal year. So then the Warriors from there can make that kind of deal and end up back in the second apron, but at least there's some flexibility. Here's the other thing you got to remember about what the Warriors are looking at here. The Warriors want to be able to sign Jonathan Kuminga to a contract extension. I know we've heard his name in trade talks a lot. I would be floored if they trade him. Floored. Because I just think he's got a lot of promise. And for them, it almost feels like, let's fill the Klay spot with Kuminga and we'll play a little different, be a little bit bigger. Klay's a little bit older. So there's that whole thing looming too. The Warriors doing a little bit of a reload here to try to make one more push in this Steph Draymond era kind of seems like the right thing. And unfortunately, from a financial standpoint, the sacrificial lamb has to be Klay Thompson, just because that money coming off the books allows them the flexibility that they wouldn't have. Even if they go make Klay a deal, that $20 million is going to keep him in the second apron. Even if and who knows if he's going to take $20 million. So I think this is imminent that the Warriors and Klay Thompson say goodbye. And do I know that the Warriors add a big player? I'm not sure that they do. But this Chris Paul, this option on Chris Paul's contract and the ability to guarantee it is a really nice salary cap slot to be able to move out, stack a deal, and be able to get a more significant player.
Brian Geltzeiler joining us on 95.7 The Game. He's a host on Sirius XM NBA Radio, also a contributor at NBA TV. Assuming the big boys' names out there are kind of Butler and Paul George, is there any scenario that you see where the Warriors could land one of those guys, acquire one of those guys, and still end up with Jonathan Kuminga on their own team?
Yeah, it's possible. Listen, if they end up having to do something, Chris Paul is going to be the lead salary piece. There's probably going to be some picks involved. I think they want to keep Kuminga. I think ultimately they would rather keep Kuminga than land a 34-year-old player. And I agree with it. I would feel the same way. And they feel like they can do both, and they would like to do both, and they're operating under two timelines. But I think we also have an understanding of that Kuminga is a keeper. Pajemski is likely a keeper. A player like Jackson Davis, they would like to keep. But if he had a lot of value in a deal for them, I think they start to look at things a little bit differently. So that's a guy that could move, and Moody could move. Listen, they got to make the same kind of financial decision on Moody. Yeah. They do for Kuminga, and I don't think they're as sweet on Moody as they are Kuminga. And I don't know if they want to pay him a number. Maybe let somebody else be the ones that have to pay him that number. So I think they could piece something together. It's just the question becomes is, The problem they would have is that the assets they'd be moving out for a player like George would be assets that were more revolving around future assets, younger guys, picks, things like that. I think if the Clippers make a deal with the age trajectory of their team, with the age of Leonard, with the age of Harden, they're going to want guys that can help now. And the one team I keep looking at and I keep hearing about, but I think makes a lot of sense with Paul George, is the New York Knicks, because the Knicks have to do something now. When they re-sign, and Knicks don't care about being in the luxury tax and paying that tax money, that's not an issue for Jim Dolan and the people of Madison Square Garden. I think the issue more with the Knicks is once they re-sign Anunoby, once they re-sign Hartenstein, they're going to be in a second apron. So if they're going to use Bogdanovich's expiring deal, or the fact that Randall's only got 2 years left on his deal, and all those picks they've accumulated, they kind of have to use them now. Because otherwise, once the worth just keep this team together as is. So this is kind of a put up or shut up summer for the Knicks, and it just so happens that George may be the guy available for them. And when it comes to now assets and picks, the Knicks could pretty much outbid everybody out there.
Well, it seems like the biggest now asset for the Warriors as a player is Kuminga. That's the guy that everyone is kind of looking at. You mentioned you wouldn't move him and that, you know, a payment might be imminent as far as a contract extension for him. I'm curious how you read the Scotty Barnes rookie max earlier today, 5 years, up to $270 million. What do you think that does for Jonathan Kuminga's market when the Warriors are trying to evaluate how much they want to give him if they do extend him this summer?
Not as much as I think Jonathan Kuminga would like it to. Because the Raptors are in a unique situation in the respect that they're in the midst of a full-blown rebuild, and Scotty Barnes is a centerpiece. And the Raptors knew when they were going to trade Pascal Siakam, when they traded OG Anunoby, two guys that both had expiring deals, they knew that they were not planning, they didn't want to pay either of them. So they were sending them both out, but they also knew they were paying Barnes. So they got to get to 90% of the cap. Why not pay Barnes that kind of money when they've invested in him what they've invested in him in terms of just saying, hey, he is, you know, the face of the franchise type of thing. So I think that that's kind of an isolated incident. And Jonathan Kuminga could compare his numbers to Scotty Barnes for the Cavs come home. The Warriors aren't going to pay that kind of number for him. And in the end, with guys going into second contracts, you got to remember how much control the team has. All right. Now, yes, could Jonathan Kuminga sign a qualifying offer and then be an unrestricted free agent the following year? He absolutely can. But no one's ever done that. They all take the financial security. So in the end, yeah, Kuminga will negotiate to a certain extent, but he's not going to sniff that Scotty Barnes money. He's just not. And that's okay. He'll get a really good contract, and maybe it's 4 years at $120 million, and he's be pretty pleased if that's what they offer him. But I kind of think that's where it's going to end up with Kuminga. But this is also when you're on a team, when you have a championship ring, and you're on a successful team with a successful program with one of the 15 best players ever to play the sport and that happens to be the best shooter in the history of the sport. When you're in that kind of situation, you're not going to get Scotty Barnes money in Toronto when Toronto's in a full-blown rebuild. So I think when push comes to shove, if it's something Kuminga's representatives try to compare, it becomes to the Warriors very much an apples to oranges comparison. They're not going to look at Barnes's contract and let that be any kind of starting point for what they're going to look to pay Kuminga.
Brian Geltzeiler joining us on 95.7 The Game. He's a host on Sirius XM NBA Radio, contributor at NBA TV. He's been great over the years in terms of Warriors and NBA. Let me throw this one at you. There's a player who just got traded who always comes up when his name came up. The Warriors always came up, and it's Alex Caruso. Good on-ball defender, somebody like that. He got traded for Josh Giddey, young player from Oklahoma City. If you look at the Warriors roster right now, do you look and say, boy, if they really wanted Caruso, they could have gotten him? Or is Giddey somebody who is looked at as a far better asset than what the Warriors have?
No, in my opinion, he's not. Listen, I think what the Bulls front office did in this deal, Matt, is pretty much management malpractice. Because I don't know. First, they turned down two first-round picks in the offseason for Alex Caruso. At the trade deadline for Alex Caruso. I don't understand how you deal with Sam Presti in Oklahoma City with the understanding that he has all of these first round draft picks and he, there is no financial wherewithal to use them all. You can't have all these guaranteed contracts. At one point, he's going to have to start to move them for players that he wants. Right. How do you not get one pick out of the deal? Because here's what happened with Giddey. One thing we learned about Josh Giddey in the postseason, right now, at least at this moment, he is not good enough defensively to be on the court in the postseason. Every time he got on the court, Dallas used him and abused him. They went at him to a point where he was literally unplayable. I get that the Bulls are going into a rebuild, but you need picks. Bring the player over with a pick or two, even if it's a protected pick. Bring the player over with a pick or two. But the Bulls got sweet on Giddey. They felt like they were getting him at a bargain. And listen, and the bottom line is this. The Thunder were selling low on what Giddey's value should have been, but somehow the Bulls bought high. And it's tough to understand. The biggest problem the Bulls have right now, just as a quick aside, guys, is that the guys that made the mess are the guys that are trying to clean the mess right now. And I think it's probably time for a management change there. And I like Arturis Karnisovas. I think he's a smart guy. I like Mark Eversley. But these guys put the pedal to the metal far too fast on trying to create a contender. They have fallen short here. And now you have a big asset drain, team bereft of assets. And they're trading a guy away like Caruso here who, listen, he's coming up, I believe, into the final year of his deal. All right, so they weren't planning on paying him anyway, so they wanted to get something for him. But, geez, there's got to be a little bit more foresight and planning. I mean, you kept him at the trade deadline when you could have gotten two ones, and for what? A play-in loss? That's what you kept him for? And now you take a bath on him with a player who may end up being fine, but his value is at an absolute low. Listen, I think the Warriors could have outbid them if they wanted to, but I don't know that the Bulls were listening to bidding on him. I think Giddey was a player they decided they were sweet on, and they grabbed him when they could get him.
Ryan, one more Warriors-related question for you. A big reason why they don't have a ton of money for Klay Thompson, number one, because of the new CBA, but number two, because of contracts that they've handed out each of the last two summers. I kind of want to just throw this at you. You know, Jordan Poole, 130 over 4 years. Andrew Wiggins, 100 and about $10 million over 4 years. Last offseason, Draymond Green, $100 million over 4 years. If the Warriors could take one of those contracts back, which one do you think it'd be?
Absolutely, Andrew Wiggins. And listen, the Poole contract was significantly worse, but to their credit, they found a way out of it and found some financial flexibility with bringing Chris Paul in. So they were able to spin that into something that was actually helpful. So I in the end, that was the worst contract that they signed, but it's the Wiggins one. And I can't totally blame them on the Wiggins one. I thought it was a good value contract when they signed, because you got to remember, when they re-signed Andrew Wiggins to that extension, they had just come off winning an NBA championship, and Wiggins was their second most important player behind Steph Curry. He was fantastic in those playoffs and unbelievable in that Boston series. We just watched Tatum and Brown use and abuse Luka and Kyrie Irving. Tatum and Brown couldn't handle Andrew Wiggins, and he shut both of them down at different points in time in that series. So, listen, Wiggins is the one they would want out of. And quite frankly, guys, here's the other reason. The number one reason that they have to say goodbye to Klay Thompson to create the financial flexibility that they need to improve this team is because Andrew Wiggins' contract, unless they're going to attach assets to it, is untradeable. If they could get off the Wiggins deal, they'd figure something out with Klay. They are not confident they can get off the Wiggins deal. I'm not to say that they don't at one point, but I just don't think it's something that they believe they can do, and they don't want to leave themselves with, we actually need to trade Andrew Wiggins to improve this roster. I think that's a losing battle from the jump, and it's something that I think this front office is too smart to engage in, so they can't be sentimental. Klay's been amazing. He's been great. He's been a legendary Warrior. Unfortunately, he's going to end up finishing his career elsewhere.
Brian, thank you so much as always, man. It's starting to pick up, and next week it's probably going to go nuts.
It'll go a little nuts this week, guys.
Yeah.
A lot going to happen. I mean, keep in mind, Wednesday, first round of the draft.
Yep.
Sunday, free agency starts. We're going to see a heck of a lot of stuff this week, probably starting sometime tonight. So it's going to get fun. I'm here if you guys need me. Always a pleasure to join you both.
Appreciate it, Brian. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care.
Yes, sir. Brian Geltzeiler, host on SiriusXM NBA Radio, contributor at NBA TV.
He's the man.
Yeah, I just like talking to him. I like talking to him a lot. You know, the one thing, he brought Wiggins up, and conventional wisdom seems to be that the Warriors are going to look to try to move Wiggins. But here's the way I look at it. If you're a GM of another team, and you've watched Wiggins for the last 2 years, are you really going to give anything up for him?
No.
Exactly. That's that just makes sense. Like, if you're a GM, you cannot give something up that you remotely like for Andrew Wiggins, somebody that you have no idea how he's going to perform. So when I think of a deal for Wiggins, I think it complicates things for the Warriors because I'm not sure how much value he has. And I get it. He just needs value on one team. Is there one team out there that looks at Wiggins and says, I'm telling you, this guy is a hell of a player. The last 2 years notwithstanding, he needs a change of scenery. But if he gets a change of scenery, I think he can be the player he was 2 years ago for the Warriors. You think they think any team out there might be thinking that? And my point is if that team is thinking it, well, they can't give up a sure thing for it.
No, I mean, but again, I think that's why Wiggins was probably acquirable in the first place. And remember, the Timberwolves sent what turned into a lottery pick with him.
Right.
So, I mean, that's how they got Kuminga in the first place. That's probably what you're looking at to get off him. And as much as you're right, you know, hindsight's 20/20, but Draymond's deal's not looking great right now, especially with three more years. It's why I've been frustrated. Like, this was the first year of Draymond Green's new contract. You're right. It's also the first year of Andrew Wiggins' extension. He's got three more years left. And while Draymond Green did things to get himself kicked out of games, and he made himself unavailable, there were times when Andrew Wiggins was unavailable on the floor. You know, Draymond, at the very least, when he played, was a productive player. He might have been their second most impactful player throughout the entire season when he was available. My biggest issue with Wiggins, and why I was a firm believer that they should have tried to move him at the trade deadline and didn't, only because they got saved a bit by the three-forward combination of Wiggins, Kuminga, and Draymond, is because I just don't know how you get off him now. You're going to have to attach a first-round pick, and I think the Warriors might be willing to do it, but I don't want to play that chicken and the egg game with as many people as I have to. And while Draymond, you got to wonder about, you know, what his attitude's going to be and if he's going to do something stupid. Andrew Wiggins, I don't know if he's going to show up.
Yeah, and
as a player,
and, you know, here's the way I look at it is, and you were asking me about this early, player option versus team option. To me, if you're a player and you get a player option, that is a bonus, if you know what I mean. Like, that is your little piece of leverage. If it's a team option, it's that team's piece of leverage. Andrew Wiggins has a player option his last year. It's for $30 million, and it's not until 26-27. So that tells me that when they were talking, and it makes sense, like, Wiggins had juice. It tells me that they went to Wiggins and said, hey, look, we really like what happened this year. You know, you got one more year left, but we want to kind of wrap you up and da-da-da and the back and forth, and he gets a player option for that last year. It tells me that, like, I think that's what Clay means about priorities. After the Warriors won the championship, Wiggins was a priority for this team. Did he need to be? I don't know.
Well, he didn't. I mean, if Draymond didn't need to be a priority last offseason, Wiggins didn't need to be a priority two offseasons ago. And another part of that, too, is you're right. Both of those two players, Draymond and Wiggins, both have player options attached. You know, we've seen a couple people bring up the fact that Clay could be under lock and key right now. He chose not to sign a two-year extension. But to Clay's defense, there wasn't a player option added to that extension. There wasn't a third year, or even a one-and-one, which gives the player more flexibility and power to choose when and how they negotiate their next deal. Clay was not afforded that. And so maybe Clay Thompson is, you know, like you brought up last week, you know, if I'm Clay, I'm not taking less than Draymond Green.
Right.
The deal, the contract that might piss him off the most might be Andrew Wiggins. Because at least he knows Draymond. I mean, he's understood him, and for all of his flaws, he knows the guy. The deal that might piss him off is this guy came in, and yeah, he helped us win a championship. He was our second best player, but I've helped you win four.
Yep.
This guy's helped us win one, and you afforded him the same flexibility or the same benefit of the doubt that you did to a four-time champ and Draymond a year later, and I can't even get that. So that's another reason why I feel like Klay Thompson's not feeling the love, number one. He's also probably feeling like even if the Warriors come back and say, hey, this is what we got for you, and it's the exact same as another team, he might just be like, you know what? I think I'm out of here anyways.
And just to throw this last piece into the puzzle about Wiggins and when he got his extension, in fairness to Wiggins, one of the reasons he got that extension when they didn't have to give him that extension at that time was a way for him not to become a free agent after that season. Because what was on the table after the NBA Finals was, well, what if he has a year like that next? The Warriors got him for 25. He throws together a year like he did the previous year. He's probably getting 35 or 40 million, and they wanted to probably guard against that. All right, what's coming up next on The Game is presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking with no compromises.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Matt Simons and Evan Giddings with you on 95.7 The Game. Got 10 minutes left, and it will be crossover, and then we'll get all kinds of stuff happening. We're talking about the Warriors.
Things are personal.
95.7 The Game, breaking news.
All right, we actually have two pieces of breaking news. One involves the 49ers, and one involves the Warriors. The Niners. Wide receiver Brandon Ayuk told Ryan Clark that he's been taking negotiations personal, and the offers so far have affected him. Ayuk's first choice is to stay in San Francisco, but he's comfortable playing elsewhere if they're willing to trade him. Ayuk is meeting with the 49ers today, a meeting that he requested. All right, that's one piece of news. Then real quick, the other piece of news, the Warriors have officially picked up Kevon Looney's team option for next year. So Looney will be under contract with the Warriors at least to start free agency at $8 million. They could have waived him and paid him just $3 million. Kevon Looney, the Warriors have exercised their team option on him. Ayuk looks a little more fraught with danger, if you know what I mean, Evan.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's been smoke there. And this is maybe not a full-fledged fire, but that catches my eye, certainly more than scrubbing of social media or even a couple of years ago when Debo asked for a trade. I always felt like, you know, those sort of things are like negotiating tactics. But when you call a meeting with a team, you want a face-to-face, it's to get on the same page. But I do believe that. His first choice is to be here. He wants to be a 49er. But it sounds like the Niners aren't willing to budge. They don't have any reason to budge off of whatever the offer is that they've thrown at him. And so they figured probably they could just wait him out. I think Brandon Ayuk wants an answer, because if he is not going to get the money he thinks he deserves, it sounds to me like he also believes he could get it somewhere else.
It's very interesting, because if Brandon Ayuk calls the boss and says, hey, I want to come in and talk about some things. Sure, come on in and talk about some things. The only thing he wants to talk about is why they're not offering him more money. And when they tell him why, whatever that answer is, he's going to say, well, then you got to try to get me out of here. Or they're going to say, well, we don't. This is where organizations have all the leverage.
Especially in football.
We don't have to do anything. So, to use a Stephen A. Smith, Brandon Ayuk better be careful. Because the 49ers do have all the leverage. I mean, this is the other thing. It's comparable to the Warriors. The 49ers re-signed Debo Samuel. But there were some, you know, not acrimony, but there was a doubt about it. Bosa leaked into...
almost to week one.
Exactly. So one of two things is going to happen. Either the same thing is going to happen with Ayuk, and he'll be in here eventually, or they're essentially setting a precedent, or not a precedent, but they're essentially breaking a precedent, and Ayuk's the odd man out, just like the Warriors are kind of doing the same thing, and Clay happens to be the odd man out. Circumstances have changed.
Well, first thing, with the 49ers, so because of their track record, I think we've all just assumed that they're just going to get this done.
Right. I kind of have.
Whether it's all the way back to Kittle, Trent, Warner, heck, even Juszczyk. Obviously, Debo and Bosa are the most recent, too. Like, he'll get his money. It's just a matter of when it'll happen in July. Okay, I think there's also a two-way street there. I think those players that I just named also believed that they were going to eventually get the money that they deserved. When I hear Brandon Ayuk ask for a meeting with the 49ers, I sense doubt from his camp that he's going to get what he thinks he deserves. The money, the idea that the number that he has in mind is not clearly the same number that the Niners have in mind. But again, because they have a first-round wide receiver who could be his potential replacement, because they got other ways to potentially overcome, you know, not having Ayuk on the field, a la McCaffrey, Debo, Kittle, all these other weapons, he doesn't have any leverage. So unlike the rest of the contract negotiations the Niners have been through in recent memory, I don't feel like Ayuk believes that he's just going to get paid, that he's just going to get his money. And if he can't, I think that's what today's about clarifying. That if you're really not going to budge, then either I need to acquiesce or I need to figure out if I can get a trade. Because you're right, Steiny. Unlike Clay Thompson, who can go test free agency, go find out what his market is, Brandon Ayuk's under contract. He still has a fifth year that he has to play or not play under, and the Niners do not have to do anything basically to give in to him at this point.
Right. It also kind of tells me that, okay, let's take Bosa. And he's in contract negotiations, and it gets to this point. And Bosa has a number, and the 49ers have a number. If, let's just say the 49ers' number was 25. Bosa clearly had a belief in his agents that the 49ers, at some point, would come off 25 and bump up a little bit. And maybe Bosa would come down. I think you might be right. Ayuk is starting to get the may have the feeling that they've told him this is it. Take it or leave it. Here's the one thing I love, just off the top of your head, yes or no. I'll just say the way it is. Ayuk is meeting with the 49ers today, a meeting he requested. Think his agent's there?
Yes.
He better be. You know what I mean? Like if...
Yeah, I mean, well, because I'm 100% with you. What else could the meeting be about? It ain't about role. I mean, that might be a secondary conversation, but it's about, hey, I just want to make sure we're all on the same page that, you know, I want 28 and you want me to take 26. And I just want to make sure that's, like, is that really the difference we're talking about here?
Well...
Hypothetically speaking.
Yeah, no, for me, it's about... Nick Bosa was at this point, and everyone, it was kind of a snooze fest. It'll happen. Debo got to this point with some stuff going on social media, but it got done. The fact that Ayuk, if this is true, requested a meeting and is in the Bay Area to talk to John Lynch, that tells me that he, you're right, doesn't feel nearly as confident that they're going to do right by him in the end.
Yeah, and I think it's also a reflection of the kind of guy that Ayuk is. You know, he doesn't want to just play telephone. Like, he'd rather just get it out in the open. And that might also be beneficial for the 49ers, but it does absolutely make sense because there's other things that have kind of, I don't know, on the peripheral occurred, such as McCaffrey getting a restructured deal, you know, the quote-unquote whispers of Trent Williams wanting a new deal, the Niners apparently not picking up the fines for Brandon Ayuk not being at minicamp. You know, all these things are just breadcrumbs that lead me to believe that Ayuk is not certain about his future in San Francisco, and I think that's why he wants to talk to the general manager or a member of the front office, is because – I think he just wants to get on the same page as him.
You know, I remember saying this at the time, and I'm not saying it was the reason the Niners drafted a receiver, but I do think the fact that the 49ers now have Pearsall, and I get it, he's a rookie, and on balance, they would take a step back at that position if Ayuk's not there. But sorry, Brandon Ayuk, the 49ers have some built-in protection right now. And the built-in protection, obviously, is the collective bargaining agreement and the fact that they don't have to do anything. But I was thinking at the time when they drafted Pearsall, like, if they really think this guy's really good, they don't have to do anything with Ayuk and just say, you got to don't come into camp and then risk losing a year of essentially your eligibility.
And because of the way that football is set up, generally right. Holding out doesn't work for the player. Unless you're really willing to just eat it.
Right.
I mean, because you're just not going to get paid. I mean, that's why a lot of guys give in. We heard last year about Lamar Jackson being a holdout candidate, or the Ravens shopping him. And then they ponied up and gave him big money. Like, players that are, I'm not saying Ayuk is as good as, you know, maybe like a two-time MVP, but generally players at some point have to give in. I think the Niners have done a really good job at not making it appear like their players are giving into them.
Or that they might reward them. They might not want a guy, but they're not going to let everybody know they might not want a guy. What do you think is going to happen with Ayuk?
I think they eventually come to terms, but the one thing I do take away from this is we're going to find out quickly if they actually are on the same page or not. Because if they're not, I do think, I mean, I've said this before, like, of Debo and Bosa and Ayuk, this is the one that I feel most likely could end with a split. Like, Ayuk could be traded.
All right, on the other side, Willard and Dibbs in the house. It's the crossover on 95.7 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.